see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome. If you're new listening, welcome. Welcome, dear kinswomen, dear kinsmen, and all who love the truth. This will be a message that continues in the study on the Apostle Paul. I've got something that has come up right before the show from the book of Jeremiah that I will read first, and then we shall go into Marcion. Don't miss this show. Don't miss this show. This is there's some good material here. And this is historic about the history of the early church, so-called. And the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah chapter 8, if you would like to go along with me. I believe we'll just get right into this because of time's sake. That's Jeremiah chapter 8. I'll wait a minute here for you to get ready. At that time, saith Yahweh, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served, after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them out, saith Yahweh of hosts. Let me just comment on that. That is a judgment I can see. And you see what he's saying here, in case you didn't understand. You might have, you might not. You see, they worship the sun and the moon and the hosts of heaven and all these different things. And they've served these other gods. And they've walked after these gods in their serving. and they sought these gods rather than seeking Yahweh himself. For he is the only God. I mean, there's no point in seeking other gods. Why would you seek something that isn't real rather than seeking the Father who has all these wonderful attributes, the all-time winner? Why would you seek the all-time loser? Not you, you. You as meaning the world, you know what I mean? Why do people want to go with the all-time loser? I've asked this question before. It's perplexing. Inexplicable. Unfathomable. Unfathomable. You know, it's just hard to conceive. It's hard to understand. See, it says, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. Which remain in the places whither I have driven them. In other words, they've stayed where he told them to go. And he has driven them to other places. Which is, you know, of course, what happens when you get taken captive. So, now, verse 4. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, and they refuse to return. You know, that's just like today, isn't it? Most of the world, they hold fast deceit. They keep it to themselves. They embrace deceit. They wish deceit. As the Freemasonic movie that I had remastered to the best of the ability, could only do so much with it. It's an old 40s or 30, you know, yeah, 40-ish movie, somewhere in that area. You know, Forces Occult. The Freemason tells the young fellow they're trying to get into Freemasonry, he says, they want to be lied to. And I find that to be true. That when you tell people the truth, they become uncomfortable, unhappy, you're not leaving them with a good feeling. But if you were to do the opposite and lied to them about things, it would make them happy. If you said, geez, everything's wonderful in the world, you know, it's a really good world full of all kinds of wonderful people who really care about everybody. Don't you agree? You know, you know. That's the thing about telling the truth. I was always deemed as negative for pointing out what was going wrong with the world and so on and so forth. And of course, you know, this positive thinking thing, I understand it. You know, I understand that people want to have a good feeling all the time. And if you're positive all the time, everything will turn out positive. Will it really? So he says in verse 6, because we're going to get to something that's wild here. Verse 6, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. Now that's chock full right there. Leave it to the Father. You know, it's just amazing. I hearkened and heard. I listened and I heard. But people did not speak aright. In other words, they were lying. They were filthy in their communication. They were not righteous. They were discombobulated. They were brainwashed. They were tainted in their thinking. But they spake not aright, he said. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? You hear people today, I'm not a bad person. I've taken care of my children. Those were the words of Howard Stern, by the way, who's a filthy, dirty Jew. And believe me, he's not a good man, nor is he a man. But nevertheless, he says, what have I done? So here, this is really, really tantamount here. Everyone turned to his course. I'm doing my own thing, man. Yeah. I'm not in the way. I'm in my way. 'Cause I did it my way. Regrets. I had a few. Yeah. Frankie boy, you know, with his kippah, his $10,000 kippah, because he pretended he was an Italian, but he knew he was a Jew. Unlike a lot of the Italians, which aren't the Italians. And, you know, it's just amazing. You know, he says he only had a few regrets in life, and I've talked about that before. I'm totally amused by such a foolish idea. If he's only had a few regrets, I mean, his conscience is seared. I mean, heavily. In other words, what have I done? He's not speaking aright, and he's not going to repent of his wickedness. What has he done wrong? He's only got a few regrets. And he did it his way. You know? So it says again, I'll read the whole verse because it's chock full. Let it sink into your brain. And connect your own dots. I hearkened. This is verse 6 of Jeremiah 8. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. You know, feet that are swift to run to mischief. This connects a dot for me immediately, and I think what we'll do is we'll go to Proverbs. Okay, I should be able to get to it quickly. Okay, these things I've read to you before. I've read this to you before, but I connect this right with this. This is Proverbs 6. Verse 16, it starts in 16. These six things doth Yahweh hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You see, a proud look means, what have I done? I've done nothing. I'm doing my own thing type of thing. You know, we see that in the Negroes today and the Hollywood people and the politicians. They do nothing wrong. What have I done? None of these repent of their evil. And they look upon proudly and lie right to the face of the people and to the Holy Spirit, and they should be dying for it. And he said, you know, like a horse running into battle, feet that be swift in running to mischief. See what I mean? Isn't that interesting? How that goes right along with that. So again, you see how that hooks up. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No, in other words, they lied. A lying tongue. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? A proud look. everyone turn to his course. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. Innocent, shedding innocent blood. Swift, you know, quick to shed innocent blood. As a horse rusheth into the battle. Verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. Remember my equation, which I was speaking to some people on YouTube recently as a guest, and I brought up the equation, and it never hurts to remind you of the equation, that corruption leads to chaos, and chaos leads to judgment. I believe many of our people, especially like the coal burners and things like that, that get judged, I don't believe our people know. You know, maybe none of us know either, but at least we have a clue, right? I believe. We understand the things of the Father, and we are sensitive to what's going on. But many of our people are like that. He says, but my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. You know, the time. When he's talking about the stork in the heaven, she knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They know the time. They can sense it's time to, you know, migrate here, or it's time to lay my eggs, or it's time to get out of here, or it's time to, you know, they know. But he says that his people, he says, my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. Here's the quintessential thing, the quintessential verse that so far in this chapter, I hope that you'll pay very, very close attention to this, because this will explain to you that what I've been telling you is not to attack Christianity. It's an attack on the attack on Christianity. I don't even want to say, really, it's an attack on the kingdom of Yahweh, really. Christianity is a very loose term at this point. I suppose I should say, this is not an attack on the kingdom of God. This is of Yahweh. This is an attack on the attack on Yahweh and his word. Listen, please, very closely. I'll read this, you know, probably two or three times. There's a reason. How do you say we are wise, and the law of Yahweh is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Now, if you read this in a different, see, the pen of the scribes is in vain. There was another way this was put, too. If I can locate it, okay? Let me see if I can locate it. Here's the international version to get a different view of it. We can see it in many different versions, actually. How can you say we are wise, for we have the law of Yahweh, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? How do you like that? Or, New Living Translation, how can you say we are wise because we have the word of Yahweh, it's really, you know, which is the law, right? When your teachers have twisted it by writing lies. English Standard Version. How can you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. Amazing. And I'll read the one more of these. This is from the Berean Study Bible. How can you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us, when in fact the lying pen of the scribes has produced a deception? You see? Is that not an amazing verse? Isn't it amazing that the Father knew that the scribes were going to taint it up? So you don't have to feel so uncomfortable that your whole life you didn't realize about the Apostle Paul, or you didn't realize about these different things that don't, you know, like John 3:16, how I explained it to you. And it's not John. It's because the Apostle Paul has had control over most of the newer part of the Testament. And the people that wrote these things, including him, are these very scribes. But there were the other scribes as well, the ones that the Jewish scribes that David had commissioned into, you know, rewriting the scriptures or translating the scriptures. And they, you know, the Pharisaic Jews who pulled out the name of Yahweh over 6,800 times. I believe it's like 6,830 times, if my memory serves me. I haven't seen it in a while, so I really like to, you know, tell it to you exactly what it is, and I'll eventually get back to it. But I haven't seen it in a while, and I believe, if my memory serves me, it was 6,830 times. I usually just say just over 6,800, okay? Which really isn't good enough, because you need to be accurate. I need to be accurate. This is amazing. See, that's why the Father had written at the end of John's book, right at the last book of Revelation, that if any man changed the words of this book, and he put in, you know, statutes and things like that, that if anyone changed the word or add to it or take away from it, you know, that this is going to be serious punishment. See, he knew. How? Of course he would know. You know, so this is the whole thing, is when they lie to you and say it is the, what is it? It's the perfect word of God. There is nothing wrong with it. It's the infallible word of God, right? And that makes it so that you shouldn't question anything, because if you're questioning the infallible God's words, then you're questioning the infallible God and calling him infallible. You see the mindset there? You see how that's how it's all done. It's like putting a fence around it and saying, you know, this is the perfect word. Don't question anything. Now, I guarantee that you should never question the Father, and I guarantee he's not infallible. He's not fallible. He is the most wonderful. He's perfect. He's the Holy One of Israel, the Most High, the Wonderful Counselor. He is not fallible. So, this is something that was done, and it was parroted over and over throughout the centuries, I'm sure. Remember, this Pauline thing, just think about the magnitude of this. And this is why I said to a brother, I said, this has to be, the devil has to be involved in this directly, because to carry off a 1900-year deception, or it's almost 2,000 years, but Paul's writings were missing in the first 100 years or whatever. This would be hard to carry off a deception of this length that carries on to today, to this very minute that we're speaking. Of course, we're finding out about it, and the devil is very, very upset about this. I just know it. So they put a cage around it. Like, what I'm saying is, again, I'm repeating this to you, that if the Father intended to have his word be the infallible word of God, you know, that it was absolutely perfect to the letter of the T from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, He could have done that very, very easily, very simply, but he deliberately didn't. This is part of the test. He wanted to see what men, well, some of them aren't men, but he wanted to see their beast of the field, the most subtle beast of the field, as I always have said. You see, this is part of the test. This is part of, if you're not going to seek for the truth, and if you don't have a love for the truth, and you don't care about the word of the Father, and you can't rightly divide it, we, I should say, right? As my brother says, we should say we. Well, I said we, yes. So, just think about that for a while, because if the Father wanted to make this perfect, he could have. Anytime man is involved, or the beast of the field, the most subtle especially, you know there's going to be trouble. There's going to be poison mixed in, right? If they take time to poison our water wells, believe me, they'll poison the ink wells as well. So let's go back and finish Jeremiah chapter 8 before we move on, because it only goes to verse 22. So let's see what else it says. Listen to this. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore, the wise men of today are like these so-called priests, these pastors, these experts in the world, these scientists, all the different kinds that you can think of. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You've heard me talking just about that, haven't you? There is no peace. Verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Well, we got a problem there. I thought the Africans were the Israelites. I just thought I'd have to add that in there. You know, somebody asked me that question about the so-called Hebrew, Black Hebrew movement, which is an absolute joke. I think they'd have a problem blushing, wouldn't they? Therefore, shall they fall among them that fall? I better start this verse again. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Now, here I am. I have to interject already. Are people ashamed today when they march in a gay parade? No. They're proud, remember? This is gay pride. Are they ashamed that they have committed abomination? No, not at all. How about people that race mix and have a child that is not planted by the Father and that is an abomination and that is cursed? Are they ashamed when they commit this abomination? No, they're proud of these children. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith Yahweh. I will surely consume them, saith Yahweh. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Do you see America and the land of honey passing away? Do you see Europe passing away? Number 14, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defensed cities, and let us be silent there. For Yahweh our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against Yahweh. Interesting, the fellows I was speaking to on YouTube, they were talking about how the white people, the Aryan people, that really don't, they just want to complain, they have no solution because they don't have the Father. He was talking how they're put to silence, you know, that, you know, they're yelled at and called racist when they speak their mind. When they speak to defend themselves, they're silenced by the screaming of the people calling them racists and white supremacists and all this nonsense. Very interesting, isn't it? Listen to this, 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Are we looking for peace today, ladies and gentlemen? Are you looking to the Jew? Are we looking to the Jew for peace? The Jew has promised us peace in many ways that I've already described. Number one, the UN, if we all just disarm and join the UN, there'll be peace. Has there been peace? Did any good come of it? And they're promising you that if we all race mix and become a brown race, there'll be peace. Will there be? Will any good come of that? And thinking of today, what's going on, if it is real, we looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. There's trouble now, isn't there? The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that's in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith Yahweh. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Boy, that's incredible, huh? Is not Yahweh in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? Boy, I could say a lot about that, huh? The graven images, right? Everyone has, you know, American Idol. Or strange vanities, you know, like the women looking into their cell phones at themselves constantly, you know what I mean? Constantly at their strange vanities, you know. Maybe some of them have purple hair, maybe have tattoos all over them. Remember the woman on my site that has 666, tattooed on her face with all kinds of other stuff. She even had the whites of her eyes tattooed blue. Remember that? Listen. Verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Now, don't be foolish if you think that I am black means, you know what I mean? But the Negro would read that and say, oh, yeah, yeah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We see the daughters of Jacob today. They don't look healthy anymore. Many of the sons of Jacob don't look healthy anymore. They've done a job on us, and we've helped them and allowed them and acquiesced to having a job done on all of us. Do you agree? It's amazing what's going on in this world. Maybe what I'll do is I'll save the Marcion for I'll do a word of the Most High after this show. Because we're at 38, almost 39 minutes already, so maybe we'll could just continue with Jeremiah here. I thought that was amazing. Did you not think that that was pretty much amazing? So he says in chapter 9, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." This is our people. This is not speaking of the Jews. See, it's the same as today. We have many people race mixing. That's what adultery is. It's adding something foreign to the mixture. "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith Yahweh." Boy, the Father sure knows how to say things, doesn't he? Listen, "they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth." See, I really want to defend the truth, and I believe most of you do too. But there are those who will not defend the truth, the kingdom, the word. You know, they don't have a love for the truth. And this is why they're bending their tongues like their bow for lies. See, they're not champions. They're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. "For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith Yahweh." See, this is the problem when we turn our backs on the Father, ladies and gentlemen. We must realize that this, you know, people want a solution. If you want peace, you need to turn to the Father and obey. And love the truth and seek the truth and repent. What do you think? Peace is free? I mean, when are our people going to stop all this nonsense? Why do they want to be lied to? See, if you didn't want to be lied to, You'd have got rid of your cable. You'd have stopped going to the Judeo-Christian church or to the Catholic church or to any of these, the Jehovah Witnesses or any of these places. But you keep going there. You keep returning to be lied to because most of our people love to be lied to. I really do believe that. I think you know that. Being lied to you isn't like a tickling of the ears in a way, right? You know, flattery would be a good way to put that. Oh, you're wonderful. This is how many of these preachers preach. And I've seen this on the televangelists. It's all a tickling of the ears. This Osteen fellow, who you can tell he's a Jew. I mean, it's very simple. And he picked the name Osteen, which is kind of, you know, funny. It's spelled S-T-E-E-N, you know what I mean? And Robert Shula was one of these people, too. He was a Freemason, big-time Freemason, gave that Crystal Cathedral to the Catholic Church. And he was full of this, you know, flattery. You can do anything, positive thinking and all this stuff. So it says, listen, in verse 4, take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, woe, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Oh, these are heavy judgments. The Father is hitting hard here. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith Yahweh. Does this not sound like today? See what I mean? When it says, you know, nothing is new under the sun, you could swear this was for today. And it might be, in a sense. You know, because a lot of these scriptures, I believe, talk of different times in our history. This might have been talking about this time in history, but look, it fits like a glove. You couldn't fit it any better. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains I will take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Now let me stop right there. And that's verse 11, which is very apropos, right? Now, he said that he would make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. But the Jews today, who are pretending to be us, have gone to that land and they said, we will build it. Rise, virgin, rise. It says, you know, in the city on a plaque. Who do you think's going to win? Do you think they will or do you think the Father will? Verse 12. Who is the wise man that he may understand this? And who is he whom the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through? And Yahweh saith, because they have forsaken my law. Listen carefully, folks. Listen carefully, Pauline worshipers. Yeah, but that's the older part of the Testament. Yeah, that's right. And it still stands today, ladies and gentlemen. Again, people were sacrificing for their sins in faith with the priests in Jerusalem and in Judah. Okay. So they were somewhat, you know, acting in faith with that, right? But that didn't save them. It was because of their disobedience that they were taken to Babylon. Make that distinction and understand it if possible. Listen. And this is verse 13. And Yahweh saith, isn't that funny? Because the 13th disciple is the one, I mean, the 13th so-called apostle is the one that has gotten us to forsake the law. Listen, verse 13. And Yahweh saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, race mixing, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, right? Behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen. Now listen, listen, right? Gall to drink. Do you know what our drinking water is like in the cities these days? Do you know it's full of chemicals and full of pharmakia sorcery and all kinds of very dangerous things? Even the fish that swim in streams that have this kind of water are morphed into other things. This is bad stuff. I will give them gall to drink. Verse 16. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that's mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, that they may come and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Very interesting that we have forsaken the land in many ways. We're not true to our country. There's too many traitors here. The women are welcoming these refugees in, which has forsaken the land for sure. And that has caused us to be cast out of our dwellings. But we have forsaken the land in many ways, by eating the pig, by not obeying the seven-year rest period, seventh, resting the land on the seventh year, etc., etc. There's many, many things we've done that have hurt our land. Verse 20. Yet hear the word of Yahweh, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith Yahweh, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. We've seen that today, haven't we? People are put in dumpsters, they're laying on the street, babies are put in trash cans. I mean, we've seen all kinds of things, right? Over in the other countries, they've killed people and left them and have not buried them, which has brought a flesh-eating bacteria. Verse 23. Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am Yahweh, which exerciseth loving kindness. I was going to say exerciseth, but that would work. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yahweh. You see, today, man thinks he's God. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. The politician thinks he's wise. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Our military acts like they're, and they, you know, they are a very viable, you know, military and mighty military, but for all the wrong reasons. So neither let the mighty man glory in his might, because his might is being used incorrectly, just as the wise man's glory in his wisdom is being used incorrectly. His so-called wisdom is being used for the wrong purposes. Like the mighty man, the soldier, his might is being used for all the wrong purposes. Therefore, how can you say, you know, how can you say that he should glory? When I look at the military, we've been lied to. They say, oh, you're fighting for the safety of our country. You're fighting for our freedom. Well, the word freedom is a deception, ladies and gentlemen. It's a deception because you're not free and I'm not free. So fighting for what freedom? And the people that they go to bring democracy to are certainly not free. Some of them are free from their bodies, though, because they've been killed in an unrighteous manner. So there's no glorying in the mighty man today. I don't look at the people in the military. Hey, listen, I love them. They're our brothers and this and that. But it's just plain wrong what they're doing with their might. And the rich man glory in his riches? Well, unbelievable. Need I say any more about that? Again, listen, verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Uh-oh. Those are the people that Paul went to, the uncircumcised. And then they'll say, oh, no, those are the dispersed Israel. No, they're not. They're the uncircumcised. They're the heathen. That's who Paul was sent to. Don't play any games. Don't play any games. You see, right now, today, and we've seen this over and over, the uncircumcised have come into our nations, the two-legged beasts of the field that were brought here by the most subtle beast of the field as a weapon against us. But listen, the Father said it was him. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Now, this was at this time, but many of us are now See, we have the Edomites in our land. We have we have Egypt. He said Judah. You know, and you know about Ammon and Moab. You know that they're an abomination. They're not. They are from Lot, from unrighteous acts of his daughters. You see, it even said Judah was uncircumcised as a nation. Because what has happened is when we went to, when we were taken to Babylon for 70 years, these other peoples, like the Edomites and the Hittites and all these other people, moved into where Benjamin and Judah were living. And so it was a multi-culti type deal by the time we went back. Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So I'll see you soon on the next show, which will be the Word of the Most High, and we'll discuss Marcion. Because otherwise this would be a two-hour show, and that's just too long. Another show unplanned, ladies and gentlemen. It just sort of happened, and boy, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were able to connect dots, and I know I did. Well, I still give you, I say a certain thing at the end of the Rabbit Hole radio show that's a good piece of advice. Don't go down the wrong hole. One, two, three.
They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yet just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face, a man without a face.